Welcome to another episode of the Perfect Franchise Podcast. My name is Chris Semenich, and my co-host is Andrea Floyd. On this podcast, we try to parse out exactly what makes some of the industry's best performers the best performers. And today, we have one of those best performers in Chris Stonis, founder of Sparkle Squad, a window washing franchise. Chris, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. I'm really excited to be here today.
Yeah, we're really happy to have you on, Chris. And I think let's start at the beginning and tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in the window cleaning power washing business.
Yeah, that's a great segue into how I ended up on this podcast in general. So before window cleaning really entered my life, I was actually in the music industry for a previous career. Kind of always found myself as somebody with a lot of drive, a lot of just motivation to challenge themselves. And music for the early part of my life was that outlet. So I worked actually behind the scenes. I worked in recording studios, recording the bands, and, you know, I thought of myself kind of as a photographer of sound. And I promise this will tie into window cleaning. I grew in that career really quickly through, you know, my ambition and drive. And what actually happened was I kind of hit the ceiling in that career at a really young age. I was in my early 20s and I was working on Grammy winning records with, you know, bands from AC/DC to Michael Bublé to, you know, Shakira, like just kind of all over the map, and realized that I didn't really have any more ascension left and kind of lost the passion. And what I realized pretty quickly at a young age, and I'm grateful I did, was that I am more of a builder and a climber. I am not a, you know, sit at the top of the mountain kind of person. So I made a tough decision to leave that line of work, again, in my early 20s, and kind of forge out and see what was next. And what I saw on my walk home on, you know, it's very serendipitous. I like to say I was unemployed for one day, because on my walk home from my last day in the recording studio, I saw a high-rise window cleaner in downtown Vancouver, Canada. And I thought, well, that's going to be a great way to pay the rent if I can do what that guy's doing. That looks like the best job I'd ever seen. And waited for him to get to the ground, met him, asked for a job, and received the job on the spot. I started the next day and really fell in love with the industry. Like, it was, there was a sense of instant gratification, the opportunity. Once I became, you know, a part of this industry, I realized that our world's really made of glass, and the opportunity to maintain and to, it's ongoing in perpetuity. So pretty early on, I decided I was going to take a crack at entrepreneurship inside this industry. And I spent the next 6 years traveling the globe, washing windows, learning from everywhere I went. I went as far as Australia and washed windows down there, saw different ways of doing things. And in 2012, came back to Kingston, Ontario, where I'm speaking to you from today, a couple hours outside of Toronto. And I started a business called Elite Window Cleaning. And my entire objective was to change this and modernize this industry. I knew from being in it and from seeing it from a global lens at that point that this industry just needed and deserved a facelift. It hadn't had a meaningful update since the squeegee was patented in 1936. And I wanted to be that person who cared deeply enough for long enough to bring an industry into a modern space. So I started Elite in 2012 and really dedicated myself to the equipment, to the processes, to understanding why such a fragmented industry was so large yet so fragmented. And that led me into all kinds of amazing technological breakthroughs around purifying water and, you know, all this minutia that nobody listening to this podcast will care about. But I promise it was an exciting time. And once we had kind of captured the essence of where we wanted this industry to go, we looked for a mechanism to take it to the masses. And we looked at franchising, we looked at corporate expansion. We had built a technology that allowed window cleaners to wash up to 6 stories, guaranteeing perfect results from the ground. And that was really a first in North America. Really, you know, it was on the cutting bleeding edge globally. And we decided that franchising was really the best way for us to share these innovations that we'd created inside this business with the world. So we began franchising Elite here in Canada back in 2018, and we're able to watch our franchise owners go into new markets, deploy the exact systems, the choreographed experience that we designed, and become household names really, really quickly. We were growing really big businesses super quickly because the arbitrage of the ma and pa situation in this industry was just so available if you were super intent about how you wanted to grow your business. And that's kind of how I got into it. Obviously, I'm not wearing a shirt that says Elite Window Cleaning. I got Sparkle Squad here on my shirt. And, you know, that's what we're here to talk about. So what Sparkle Squad is, just to set the table for everyone listening, you guys obviously know, is our brand that we're launching in the US based on the technology that we built up here in Canada. And it's kind of like, you know, an overnight sensation, 12 years in the making. We put all this work in to build these systems, and now we're coming to the most franchisable, you know, country on the planet, with so many great opportunities and so many great entrepreneurs, with a really well-baked emerging brand, which I think is super rare in today's climate. So that was a bit of a monologue, but that's how I got into window cleaning and kind of up to present day.
Fascinating. Fascinating background. Well, thank you.
Yeah, Chris, I might be the exact kind of person you're referring to when you said, you know, they're not technical and they're not going to want to care about the details of your technical innovations. So I'm not technical, but I do want to hear, can you keep it high level and talk, you talk about the choreographed services, you talk about technology that lets you wash windows up to 6 floors. Can you go a little bit more in detail for that so we can understand exactly what you're talking about?
Absolutely. So what we realized was we needed a repeatable system that wasn't just a price and a brand standard. We wanted it to be a repeatable experience for the customer so that our franchise owners could scale their businesses more quickly by having just that, you know, the McDonald's hamburger tasting identical in Japan as it does in you know, Missouri. So we focused on a few things. One was guaranteeing perfect results, and up to 6 stories high, we wanted to guarantee perfectly clean windows every single time without fail. And so what we actually did was pretty simplistic. We developed a set of filters that remove all the minerals and sediment from the groundwater and leave you with what we call pure water, which is 0 parts per million molecularly pure water. And when you scrub a window with this purified water and you rinse it off, as that evaporates off the window, there's no minerals to leave water spots behind. So we've actually cleaned the water to clean the window. And that really leveled kind of the opportunity of, okay, now we have a system that's repeatable by anyone. You know, our staff is front lines, mostly Gen Z and mostly female. And in the industry of window cleaning, really in home services in general, that's super unusual. But the reason that we continue to push in that direction is once you've leveled the playing field on deliverables, customer service acumen and the ability to connect with your customers becomes the strongest asset you have in your business. So we've choreographed our appointments around customer service. So from the way they unload the truck to the way they greet the customer and who greets the customer and where they start on the home and what additional services they offer. It's kind of like a choreographed dance that happens every single time on every single job, yet feels really unique and relatable to the customer who's receiving the experience. So we focused really heavily on that. So we have the tech up front to do the job and allow our technicians to be amazing customer service representatives. And then we train really, really heavily to that, which gives us an amazing retention and amazing staff culture inside our franchises. And then obviously gets us those 5-star reviews almost every single job, which is kind of part of the hustle, right?
That's great. I mean, Chris, so you talk a lot about the customer service piece, and that obviously gives you a competitive advantage. Help me understand in general, where else are you this competitive advantage? You mentioned 6 stories and this technology. Is that something competitors have too?
Yeah. So it's, there are variations of what we, use that can be imported from the UK. But we are building, we're the, you know, the system that's being built here in the US, in New Jersey, and how it's a competitive edge to have this system is we think of our business as we sell human calories. Calories go in, and then however that home service tech is expending their energy, they're really expending their own energy to get the job done. And we knew the less energy we could have the techs expend over a shorter period of time, the higher the margins inside the business would be. So if you think of five windows side by side, even on the second story of a home, our technicians are able to walk up with their water-fed pole, scrub it with the purified water, rinse, step to the next and continue, where our competitors are setting up a ladder, climbing the ladder, mm-hmm. taking, so it's caloric output, therefore they need to charge more. So we get this, we're a price leader, we get this unicorn situation, really. We're a price leader in the market, but we've preserved our margins and actually increased them over status quo by focusing on efficiency and, you know, again, back to that choreograph, there's no wasted motions inside the business. So it gives us two things. It gives us a blue ocean customer who, you know, our standard home is any home under 2,000 square feet, we can clean all the exterior windows for $138. It's the no-brainer price. It's literally the price that people are like, okay, sign me up. Where do I sign? Yeah. So we have this crazy conversion rate here in the sales center, and they, you know, they convert just about 80% off all incoming calls into book jobs on the very first call, because our pricing is that no-brainer pricing. And then we use customer service to build that average job size from what that exterior window need to interior windows, screens. We have a really cool technology to clean gutters from the ground, and we camera inspect them and show the homeowner exactly what the problem is. So there's no sales. It's just solving problems. And we're able to drive that average job size, obviously much higher than where the customer came in.
Yeah. So I hear efficiency. I hear even safety, right? Doing it from the ground is competitive advantage of your customer services, a lot of aspects. And then the cost, just because you are able to do it more efficiently.
Exactly. Okay. So we're kind of like, I think of us in kind of a category of one right now in the industry in North America. Which is a really cool place to be when you're an emerging franchise brand.
Yeah.
You know, it's certainly a big differentiator. So let's zoom out for a little bit, taking it away from the ground level window washing and talk about franchising. So you franchised in Canada successfully.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now it's time to move down here in the States, but you didn't just start franchising in the States. You partnered with a big and formidable partner in Happiness Brands. So talk to us about that decision. Why did you do it? And why are you're so excited about that partnership as you start to, you know, put pins in the map around the country with new franchisees?
It's a great question. So for the partnership with Happiness Brands came about very organically. We had made a decision in 2020 because the system was growing so quickly and the franchise owners were like immensely profitable that we weren't going to be acquired. We had sat here and, you know, I had said, you know what, this is really going really well. And we were getting acquisition offers kind of monthly through 2020 and 2021. We really decided that we were having too much fun building this thing. We were going to just continue doing such. And then a friend of mine said, you know, I know that you're not interested, but you should really take this call. Scott Frith, the chairman of Happinest, wanted to get in touch, and he had heard about some of the things we're doing and why they were so unique, and they're a very innovative culture themselves. So he wanted to get in touch and just see if there was a conversation to be had. And on that very first conversation, I realized that the Happinest brands are cut from the same cloth. They're builders, they're innovators, they care about people. And what codified that for me was on the very first conversation, he said something that I wrote down and it's still written down on my whiteboard here in my office. He said, Chris, the real secret to franchising is really, it comes down to two things. And it comes down to unit economics and franchisee-franchisor relationships. And if you have those things, everything else is background noise. And I realized in that moment that if I were going to partner with somebody, that this was the person to do it with. And they had such an amazing system inside Happiness Brands, you know, Lawn Doctor, 55 years, Mosquito Hunters on just an absolute tear of growth with really happy owners. And I looked, you know, I spent some introspective time and realized that Happiness Brands were the kind of me of the platform. And I wanted to partner with somebody I could see in the mirror in a lot of ways. So, we are coming to the US with an incredible platform behind us, or we are in the US now with an incredible platform behind us. And I honestly couldn't be happier about the decision.
That's great.
Yeah. It's go ahead, Andrew.
No, go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, I was going to say, you know, it seems a little bit like the best of both worlds, right? Where when someone's looking at a franchise, you can either look for a franchise that has decades of experience and tons of infrastructure to support you. But the bad part is all the good territories are gone. Mm-hmm. Or you can look at a franchise that's brand new and you get to pick the best territories, but they're a startup. Mm-hmm. With you, you're kind of both. You get the infrastructure and support of a decades and decades old mammoth brand and Happiness, but you still have plenty of white space. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a real hand in glove fit that way, where our industry experience could match what their experience was with Lawn Doctor and their processes and systems, and then kind of pull those things together to create, you know, the brand ultimately of Sparkle Squad. And, you know, the other huge, as an innovator and as a builder, the huge advantage with Happiness, and most people don't realize this, is they have a humongous manufacturing facility and they make all their own equipment for Lawn Doctor and Mosquito Hunters. And so now, as somebody who had been building systems kind of on a shoestring budget or like cobbling things together without an engineering degree, I ended up with a giant manufacturing facility at my disposal to create the toolkits that would allow our franchise owners to be successful. So we spent a year just whiteboarding and building out that we call it the job pod, our van. And it's literally the best window cleaning tool on the planet. Like it literally is, because we were able just to take all this industry experience and have a group of people that wouldn't say no when we came with a wild idea. They would say, okay, well, let's figure out how to build it and how to make it mechanical and how to make it fit into the choreograph of the appointment. So a lot of reasons why it was a really good decision and continues to be.
That's great. And so, you know, coming to the US and getting the backing of Happiness, we know the advantages that come with a big brand like that. What are some of the challenges of an emerging brand? As you've been doing in Canada, you've been established there, but now you have to come to the US. Talk about that a little bit.
The big advantages, or sorry, disadvantages of being an emerging brand is just, it's speculation on the part of the candidate. So does this work here? Will this work here? Mm-hmm. And we can show them, you know, it works amazing in Canada. We have, you know, amazing seven-figure businesses and everybody's growing like crazy in Canada, but there's always that, you know, hurdle to cross until, you know, we have our first five owners right now that will eventually be our item 19 at the end of this year. And I think the biggest thing is that first out of the gates year, you need pioneers who you can build trust and they can trust the system. And those people are rare. We call them empire builders. So our philosophy on franchise owners is we want our owners to feel like true pride of ownership in their business. And we don't want them to be buying a job. We want them to build a big team, build a culturally aligned team, because we know that that culture bleeds through to your customers. You're only as good in home services as your worst technician. So really having our owners build a team so that then they can build those multi seven figure businesses inside their territory. And when you're an emerging brand, that's gotta be table stakes. You need people who are going to succeed, and it makes the selection process a lot choosier. Like, we have to hold out for the right people who see the vision clearly and know where they can take this business. And I would say you know, from where I sit, it's all the no's we have to say to get to a yes that, that can be hard for an emerging brand, because we won't bring in somebody that we don't believe will be disproportionately successful, because it's too, as an emerging brand, really as any franchisor, it's too delicate of a relationship to be careless with. So we take a lot of care, and our Sharon Kupak does our development, and I probably speak to her more than I speak to anyone but my wife and kids, because we're so in lockstep with who is coming through and what they need and, you know, how they position inside the brand.
That's great. I would also think, coming out of Canada, where maybe the weather is colder, snowier, a little bit rougher, that that may be an advantage to you to sell it down here, where maybe the weather's a little bit better, right?
And yeah, it's a huge advantage to our US FPs. One thing that's interesting is, because we built the economics of this model in a harsh environment, that we really have a 35-week season up here, where it's 35 weeks, it's go, 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 production, production. So when we take that, like, franchise owners can be, you know, wildly profitable inside 35 weeks. And then we layer that on top of, you know, someone in Texas or somebody in, you know, Florida. It's a really big, big opportunity for somebody to grow this 12-month income stream inside a business that for us has been a 35-week business historically.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, Chris, you've already started to touch on this, but let's dive into it. What exactly are you looking for your franchisees to be doing day to day, hour to hour, not only at startup, but long term?
So long term, I, you know, startup and long term for me are the same, but different, I guess. So at startup, it's really getting this business to capacity as quickly, getting your first vehicle to capacity as quickly as possible. So there, you know, we have a huge opportunity. We do not just service residential. We are not just home services. Commercial is massive for us, because any building up to six stories, we're able to do, you know, college campuses. The largest network-wide project is a seven-year reoccurring project where every year they clean every piece of glass on an entire university. It's 70,000 panes of glass. So there's huge, huge opportunity in commercial. So when an owner gets in, we bring them to training class. We want them to be the smartest person in the room when it comes to the functional, you know, how do I wash a window? My technicians are going to have questions. How do I, you know, be the expert and guide them to success? But we really don't want our owners on the tools. It is absolutely not the direction for this business, only because the market is just too big. There's too much opportunity for scale here. And if an owner gets on the tools, that really slows things down for us. So I would say, out of the gates, it's starting to build that culture, build your team, make sure that they're delivering the PhD, which is perfect windows, happy technicians, delighted customers, on every single job. Make sure they're executing on the plan properly from a technician point of view, and then focusing on that growth, focusing on your capacity, increasing it. We aim to have our owners add a second truck in year one, and then start year two with a third vehicle on the road. So really pushing that capacity so that they can cash flow into those additional assets and grow their business quickly. So, and then in perpetuity, it's how do I improve my business? How do I grow my business? How do, like, that is what we want the owners to be thinking every single day, is how do I optimize this thing and how do I grow it to the next level so that they can get to that seven-figure mark as quickly as possible.
And am I thinking about it right in that if they want to go after commercial accounts, there's going to need to be more sales?
So
the owner, is that right?
There is commercial sales for sure. We definitely like have a whole like curriculum around commercial sales. It's interesting because the industry is so so grassroots as an industry. The people you're selling to, the people are buying kind of are too. So it's not a real high pressure environment. You're usually talking to, you know, a retirement home may have a maintenance manager who schedules the, you know, windows and gutters and pressure washing every year. So it's interesting. It's outbound sales for the commercial side, but it's very like unpolished outbound sales. So we kind of come in with this polished ability to speak their language. At the end of the day, your commercial clients are going to care about efficiency, footprint, how quick can you get in and out is actually oftentimes more than pricing. So we coach our owners to speak to the value propositions that the commercial clients want to hear. And then, they tend to love it. Everyone starts scared of it and then starts to you get a couple big wins under your belt and then you're good. The wins in your sale and you're good. You're good. So, yeah. And then on the residential side, we drive most of the activity through centralized media, through what we call the jungle, which is our sales center. If you hear any hooting and hollering, it's literally just on the other side of the wall here. All residential leads flow through there. And we have what we call the back office support system. And it actually not only converts those customers, but we schedule them, we route map them. Every single day, franchise owners' schedules are filled with appointments that were, sold, upsold, scheduled, all automation sent out from this room. So when we designed the back office support system, I'm going to tangent a bit to bring it back. It was designed around what could I have done in the corporate location to get to seven figures quicker? What was slowing me down? What took time and didn't have the, return that we had expected, or, it was disproportionate. And we took all those things and we packaged them up so that owners could really focus on delivering excellence and growing their business. And it works really well. Our owners are really happy with how their technicians can just wake up to a full schedule, every day and go out and execute.
Chris, this has been great. I mean, I think just even you starting out with your background, completely different career, switching to this, a lot of our clients are in that same position where they really feel like, okay, I went to school for this, or this is where the path I'm going and I want to pivot. You've showed them really where you can pivot and do something completely different. And then really hitting on the advantages of emerging brand as well as some of the challenges, and then partnering with a really big franchise family to sort of help and support you with happiness. I think that's great. I've learned a lot. I'm sure Chris has. I know our listeners have. And for those listening, if you're considering franchising as a potential path to business ownership, remember, there's no one size fits all that suits everyone. Even so, there's certainly a franchise out there that's perfect for you. To explore your options and find the perfect match, please visit us at theperfectfranchise.com by clicking on Let's Talk. You can schedule time to speak with one of our consultants on the Perfect Franchise team. We look forward to connecting with you again in our next episode. Until then, take care.